from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
I can understand if you want to keep it.
It's still chocolate and caramel. It's just not. It's not to the point of saying like, "Hey, this is a piece of turd." No, it's more like, "Well, this is a disappointment as far as delicious crack candy goes."
Yeah.
So no. Yeah. No, you may not have one. You've had two today. I think two a day is enough. That's enough caramel bars.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Okay, all right, let's move on into it. My name is Jacob Fortin.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
All right, welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. Now, we just finished watching The Family Guy Season 7, Episode 11.
Which, if you haven't seen yet, go get it on the internet.
And yeah, you have to watch it first, so if you haven't watched it, stop everything immediately and make sure that you watch this. Otherwise, this video or this podcast will make no sense.
Well, here's the beauty of it. It's a split episode, because you know how they always do two or three things an episode? This being born again / Star Trek. So how perfect is that?
Yep. It's, you know, sometimes I feel weird that Seth MacFarlane knows exactly what's happening in my house. You know, like, I have a feeling that this place is being bugged, because how many times do we just say something and then all of a sudden, boom, Seth MacFarlane does it? This is, I mean, are you trying to take over my business? Plus, he had that podcast.
No, you gotta understand.
He did with Adam Carolla. I'm like, don't get in my racket, because you'll destroy me.
Here's the thing. You think that your sense of humor is original and unique, but the truth of the matter is that you've just sopped up pop culture from him and from other people. Like, he's regurgitating pop culture, but what we consider to be humor is basically its found sound. It is culture that absorbed from the internet, from television, from other people who regurgitate.
We all regurgitate tales. You know, when you're culture hounds like us, you're bound to be vomiting something that a person that you respect is also simultaneously vomiting out.
Yeah.
So I definitely appreciate that. I just don't appreciate the competition, because I will get my ass flattened.
Yeah, you don't understand. They aren't you. You are, but we are, but mites on the back of their creativeness.
How much is Seth MacFarlane worth? $100 million right now. I'm like, congratulations, buddy. You made it. I hope that you appreciate how fucking difficult it really is to make it. So hopefully you'll do kind of a reach out to motherfuckers who have skill and talent. I think that's, you know, if I was in his position, that's kind of one of the things that I would try to do.
Well, look for cool people and help them out?
Yeah, fucking A. I mean, there's plenty of cool people doing really cool stuff. And we interact with these people all the time. We would help them if we could only help ourselves. But we're literally helpless children.
Yeah, useless mewling kittens.
Okay, so now go and watch The Family Guy Season 7, Episode 11. You'll need to know that in case that you don't have TV and you need to download it.
Off the internet.
Yep, you know what? Or if you're an American, you go to Hulu TV or Hulu.com and they got it. So, lucky bastards.
I know, we had to pirate it and it was such a pain in the ass.
Oh my god, yeah, the story of how we had to fucking do this. Basically, download it once takes forever because apparently in Canada the internet is always going to be capped
now. The internet has been throttled. All you Americans that are down there thinking that no one will ever throttle your internet or fucking parse your bits, it's already happened in Canada, man.
And you know, get this. I mean, the real problem here is the fact that this is capitalism run amok. I mean, you guys think that we're socialists? The only reason that our internet is capped is precisely because of capitalism. We've been fucked over. Yep. We try to introduce these elements, the capitalistic elements, in a smaller country like Canada, and our big companies rule us like with an iron fist. All right, we pay interest charges on retracting money from our accounts. We are hijacked by companies. Basically, actually, companies threaten governments. Bell Canada threatened the fact that they were going to pull out of this whole business unless they were giving exclusive rights to distribute the internet. Because in our socialist state, we've decided, no. No one entity can do this. You need to be able to divide that up. It needs to be commoditized so other enterprises can have, can get a hand in this. Well, companies around here are just far too large in order to be able to make that happen, and our government is mostly impotent. So combine these two elements, and all of a sudden we get throttled. So yeah, we're throttled. We're trying to download this one file. It turns out it has a nice virus on it. Well, that's fucking fun. So that we have to download it again. Then the Xbox 360 doesn't read it for some weird reason. The network goes down. It's a nightmare. But we finally got to watch the episode.
So let me tell you what. Piracy is great. We would never want to pay like $20 a month to just get all the TV we wanted for free. Hell no, that would never work.
There's no market for that.
No, and then everybody wouldn't be really, really rich. They would not be.
That's not a good business model.
Anyways, let's talk the Family Guy thing. I don't know how much I can... I got a feeling you're going to be asking me questions about it. I'm just going to be like, you know what? I liked it. It was good.
So you're saying that you have nothing cooking almond in your brain. Your noggin is just flat beyond the good sort of like thing?
Noggin ain't flattened. It's just to the point where, you know, it was funny, but it wasn't very thought-provoking by any means. They didn't really... They didn't really present anything.
All right, you don't have any talking points, so we're going to skip you. We're going to move on to me.
Okay.
There's a few talking points that I thought were interesting. Number one, I'm going to start with the end because that's that's the order in which I remember them, like from time date wise.
Okay.
But we begin at the end where Brian manages to reconvince Meg that there is no God, and I thought that was interesting because you know whenever you have any show that has a kind of like a God dilemma, it always goes the other way because, of course, the producers and everybody else involved, they fucking believe in God, but Seth MacFarlane is the big man and he does not believe. So at the end, he's like, yep, main character goes back to not really being religious anymore. And, that's kind of an interesting twist because it's not something that you could normally do in regular TV. You couldn't have, like, one character all of a sudden, you know, get brought back to the non-belief. That just does not happen. So I thought that was the first interesting point. I assume you have no thoughts.
I like the show.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Okay, the other thing that got me thinking a little bit was, you know, how much he was trying to put the message. Like he uses Meg as a perfect example of a person whose entire life they get just shit on. Mm-hmm. All right, like just. Those scenes where she gets the milk glass thrown at her. I mean, it's almost torture watching her. I feel like I'm watching, what was that? Was it Carrie? Mm-hmm. You know, like, maybe that's the finale of Family Guy. Yeah. Meg turns into Carrie.
Oh, is she? I'm pretty sure they've already done a spoof thing of that. But the whole idea of Meg is that Meg is supposed to show how teenage girls perceive that they are treated and ostracized by everybody. This is how they perceive, say, slight jabs in this. That was the whole idea of how Meg was kind of conceived, is we're going to take all of the insecurities that a girl has, and we are going to lay them bare and just
make it naked and show it to you. Blah!
Pound it down there. Yeah, yep. Exactly. So
it's like a big vagina shot.
That's just a little blam. There's a little fun fact for you to understand how Meg is kind of written.
Okay, well, it's also interesting then that a character was basically, you know, this traumatized, has no confidence, doesn't feel like she's being loved. You know, like that's the key message that he was trying to show. Because in terms of, there was no evidence presented, or she didn't even use evidence to kind of defend her position. That was not the story. The story is basically saying like, well, he loves me, and I don't feel love from anybody else, so I'm gonna just believe in God. And you get the feeling that's that message that he's trying to send. That for a lot of people were, you know, just unloved, lonely, desperate. Hey, you want to believe in the ultimate imaginary friend? Now, it actually led me to think about this one thing. Because the whole experience, I guess, Seth MacFarlane sees himself through Brian. So we're kind of watching Seth MacFarlane go through what he probably felt for a long time, you know, kind of ostracized and having to fake being religious, you know, like what he tries to do with Meg, in order to say, well, if I just do this, whatever, I'll be able to live a normal life. But then, obviously, that's shattered when everybody around starts questioning evolution, science, and just even regular logic, which are the three books that they're burning. And, you know, now he feels compelled to have to say something and to really lay the truth bare, You know, say, well, listen, I'm trying to tell you this because I love you, but, you know, it's bullshit. Like, stop thinking that anybody's doing you any favors out there, because nobody is. At least nobody invisible out there is doing any favors for you. He's too busy writing off like Flash Gordon across the universe.
Well, that was one of the things that did kind of interest me was the whole idea of where Brian was saying, where how they portrayed once Brian got outed as an atheist and everybody was treating him like trash, and I was kind of like, oh, that's not very realistic, because that's not. And I'm like, I guess this is why everybody gets so angry when I'm like, it's no big deal being an atheist nowadays. A lot of people are like, yeah, it is a really big deal. Like, imagine being part of a group of friends who are all religious.
Well, not
like
just...
I'm sure it happens all the time. You got your high school fucking table, 20 friends, and you're the one person there who doesn't believe in God, and it comes up and it comes out and then you get fucking pushed right out of that group. I'm sure that happened all the goddamn time.
Well, look at this. Look at it from this angle.
For many people,
I think that in general, and this is what I wanted to segue into, we're talking about our dynamic, because we have a show, we're atheists that are fairly, you know, have some degree of notoriety, all right? We have some fans. There are people that are aware that we're atheists. It's not a secret, you know, and people can hear about it that are not involved in the atheist scene,
uh-huh.
You know, because it can just make the rounds. But with that said, like, I think that there's a certain portion of our lives that's very, very, you know, sheltered and secluded. And, you know, we basically are two atheists that, you know, hang around all the time. It's basically what we do. So we're surrounded. Like, imagine your best friend was actually really religious. That would change things. You know, like, that your best friend used to be really, well, or is, you know, like, you couldn't have that degree of conversation and understanding with, you know, when you were best friends with Ben.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have that. But now you have that on such a regular basis, you don't even think about it anymore. In fact, we just talk about it.
You force it on me. One of the big faults about Jacob, for everybody that knows him, you ask anybody what's Jacob's problem, they're like, talks about religion too much. That is what everybody tells. That's what everybody will tell you.
All right, but fine. Like, if you were with anybody else that talked about religion that much, but who actually believed in God, you would go crazy. You would literally go crazy. And I'm sure that there are people out there, and that's their life. You know, their best friend or the people that they are closest with don't share their religious belief, and that can be tough.
Well, imagine this. Imagine having being an atheist with an evangelical roommate who's basically, because the whole idea of evangelicals is to convert, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's evangelizing. That's what that means, to go out and convert. And people wonder why they're, like, so big. Hello, it's in the name. It's like having the multipliers as part of the name of your religion. We are the multipliers. What do? We multiply. We spread ourselves. We evangelize. That's what that word means. Mm. So yeah, that would be pretty fucking rotten. What an annoyance that would be. And imagine he's the sweetest guy too in the world, right? And you're just like, wow, what a friendly dude. But well, oh my God, you just want to kill him.
Well, I think you can kind of bring it over. We could go. We can hop from one television show reference. We could talk about Family Guy. Let's talk about 30 Rock and about what's his name, the super ultra religious page.
Oh yeah, Kenneth.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Kenneth. He's that's the way 30 Rock makes fun of religion, or at least town. You know, sort of like the caricature of the town folk. You know, the guy who watches TV, but really he's like this giant, you know, redneck guy who only reads the Bible and, you know, watches old 30s movies.
Now, is it just me, or does it seem to be getting more and more that you can see shows like this? Like, this is kind of the start of everything. Even though Hollywood's always been really liberal, they've been pretty good at hiding their godlessness. But now it seems like they're actually getting a little bit more of that out. You know, you're able to make all of those jokes about religious people and about religious organizations.
Yeah, well, you can talk about it in public. You can have a podcast about it. It's not something that people would have done a little while ago, you know, and now it just seems like no big deal. It's no big deal to us, but it still is a big deal all over the place. But it's just, we're the first example. Like, our lifestyle now is a good example of what I think a lot of people are going to live like, where conversations about the fact that there is no God isn't one of those unpleasant shit I have to argue with someone, but rather let us just sit down and talk about the universe, you know, as we see it, if it has no operator.
You got to understand that most people do not have these conversations, and that's probably why they listen to this podcast, because this is their only outlet.
Ouch. Why? I can only answer that question three times. Why are people not having more, you know, discourse? It seems to me a shame. Like the
because there is no every Sunday for atheists to get together. That's the whole problem. We don't have our group fucking sessions.
I received a funny email from a fan of the show who said, atheistclubhouse.net on its way. I'm interested to see if that person will...
Is it because atheistclubhouse.com was taken by the goddamn fundies?
I don't know, but a lot of freaking websites are. I think if you type in atheist... .ca or something like that. You get a Christian site
you
that
know
writes
what?
All this bullshit garbage.
We need to get that site back. If they are squatting, we need to get it.
You know what? You know what? In terms of an internet campaign, that's a smart one. We need to get people who are not freaking, you know, who are religious fundies off sites, off atheist sites. Like if there's an atheist.com and it's taken by a religious fundie, we need to get that back. How would they feel if I put Christianity.com and just said, this is fucking bullshit. I'm going to fucking fuck you all motherfuckers.
You know what? We would do it if we could, but we can't, so we got to take
you know,
it
we would. Yeah, we would do it if we could, but they would fight just as hard. They would lose their minds. You're saying, oh my God, Christianity.com taken over by an atheist? No!
So we have sat for far too long.
Yep. You know what? The internet battle lines are drawn.
Here's a question. Isn't the goodatheist.com taken by a Christian fundamentalist?
I don't know if it's taken by a Christian fundamentalist, but I do know that it's parked. It probably is owned by them. I mean, like, the one thing is you can either park it or you can just own it. So take every godless word and buy the domain for the love of Jesus. That's probably what went through their heads. I mean, they have a patron of the internet. I don't remember what his name is, but that is ridiculous. A patron, a saint. He died so that he could protect the internet. God sent him to the webs.
Very nice. Very
what a
nice.
Lonely existence for this poor patron. He must watch a lot of porn, a lot of German porn. Is he there, even on the porn sites, navigating, trying to make sure that you don't get too many viruses? You know? Wow.
He failed us today.
He definitely did fail us. Here's how he failed. Basically, he failed because now YouTube has told the James Randi Educational Foundation, you can't post here no more.
Well, we don't know what.
All right. We don't necessarily know, but it's not the first time something like that's happened. And there's every indication that it is true. I mean, you have to understand, here's why they get banned.
The James Randi.
Yeah, the James Randi Educational Foundation. They get banned because they'll put up a video of Uri Geller, for instance. He had that show, the Amazing or something like that. Like they were he was looking for a new him. Mm-hmm. You know, you needed to display some kind of talent, I suppose, to be Uri fucking Three Tricks in the Book Geller. All right, well, they show a clip of him with that magnet on his thumb that he uses for this cheap magnetic moving bit that everybody knows. I mean, like, it's the joke at kids' parties, you know? So he's pulling off that stuff. So they show that on YouTube, and all of a sudden Uri Geller claims, well, you know, my intellectual property, blah, 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 and it's mine. And the first response from YouTube on those is always to sort of like, we're going to take the side of the person making the claim, and we're going to take you down. So for me, it's probably something along the lines that they just got fucking tired of dealing with the fact that they get all these complaints, and they just figured, we don't need James Randi Educational Foundation in their business. You know, they can take their business elsewhere. Now, from a business perspective, YouTube is a private enterprise, as far as I know, so they can do whatever the hell they want. And I don't think, you know, there are other competitors, but with that said, from like a, you know, removing the business aspect of it, I'm pretty sure that kind of thing is personal as well.
Well, you got to understand this. Look at it like this. Here's what's happening is that Google has given in to people who are basically trying to use copyright law to prevent you from seeing things that they don't want you to. So if you're okay with Google doing that, that's I'm not cool with Google doing that. As a person who, like, I'd say half the videos I make could get taken down because they include little snippets of other people's works. It drives me nuts when these people will take a video and they will say, put a copyright thing up on it because it makes them look bad. Well, to me, it's a freedom of speech issue. I don't know how it works constitutionally or anything else like that, but as far as I'm concerned, people are getting silenced now by copyright. The most insignificant, worthless, dumbest, who gives a shit about it? It drives me nuts.
But think about it, it's the next level of censorship anyways.
Yes,
I mean, it's corporate censorship. That's what it is. It's so... Because it's not regarded as a constitutional issue, for instance, if you're in the U.S., it's just regarded as, well, this is a private company and they want to maintain some degree of control over this, so therefore this makes sense. And you're like, hold on a fucking second here. It's larger than the distributor. YouTube may distribute content, but there are things happening within that area that involve you know, those kinds of rights.
And there are people that are misusing the law to force these companies to do things.
Yep.
Now
exactly.
Now that being said, this whole James Randi, if you watch the video, this is the video.
But it's not James Randi who made that video.
Then what's the deal? My understanding,
it's just some dude who made the video.
It's just some dude.
It's not
the James Randi people trying to do this as a message to everybody.
Are you not, as far as I know, no.
Okay.
It's not they have not released any information about it. That's just somebody who made it and put it out there and said, spread the word this way.
Okay.
But it's not endorsed by the James Randi Educational Foundation. They didn't. The person who made the video didn't identify themselves.
Because the way I heard about this is one of the few times that I heard news kind of at the same time that Jake does, is there was a YouTube video that just says, the James Randi Video Foundation has been taken off of YouTube. This is insanity.
No, it said madness.
This is madness.
He was madness.
Like, no explanation for... And then he says, you know, spread the word, make this video viral. I'm like, why? Why?
Too little information.
Too little information. And at this point, I don't know what the hell the deal is with it. You know? Maybe Google, YouTube has a good reason for it. I don't know.
Probably not. I mean, considering really how safe everything that still comes out of the James Randi Educational Foundation is. These guys are not risk takers. They're not like us. You know, I could understand us getting
like
banned.
Us.
Hardcore.
Remember what I told you? You have to put everything through an ego filter, Jake.
No, I mean like us as in crazy.
Yeah.
You obviously understand in terms of the atheist podcast, we're way like more brutal. You know, we're a little bit raw.
We're pretty extreme.
Raw. Yeah, we with an X. I mean, we'd put a video of something probably pretty heinous, which would immediately be blocked. I mean, that's just how we are. We can't make anything that isn't slightly, you know, controversial. Nothing I say is ever non-controversial. I can't help it. It just happens.
I don't know. I can't remember the last controversy that we've stirred. We're not for shit talkers. We don't actually. That's the whole
thing.
Well,
that's because nobody really gives a shit. That's great. You know, we are jokers. But that being said, I mean, when you make a joke, we say horrible things. We say nasty things. But James Randi is sort of like always been very, I suppose, vitriolic is the best way. You know, they're very careful with his choice of word. He wants to appear educated, and he likes big words. That's cool. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what? Did he say a word or two that YouTube didn't like? I think it's more along the lines that they just don't like James Randi. You know, they feel that he's a grumpy old know-it-all that... That's going around and making lots of people look very foolish, because anybody that tries to claim that prize always looks the fool. Because, of course, what did you think? That you were a dowser? That you could detect water with two sticks? You're going to look like a jackass because you're a jackass. It's the uncomfortable filter of reality. That's what the James Randi Educational Foundation is. So, yeah, people tend to look like boobs and they take it very personally. Yeah. They're like, you filmed me saying that or doing this, and now I want it back. Well, you agreed to the terms, didn't you? Well, yeah, but I don't like it. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you did try to win $1 million. That was the kind of arrangement. I don't see what the problem is here. Well, I'm going to sue you. Okay, great. But I suppose, too, you know, one of the things that we take for granted is the fact that we're not in an overly litigious society compared to the States. You know, where there are three times as many lawyers as anywhere else on earth in the United States. Like, this is where all the lawyers are. So there's lots of people going crazy all the time. Oh, it's slander. Oh, it's libel. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, obviously, I can only see that getting worse. I mean, think about the internet age where everyone's reading what you say about everybody.
Yeah, and, I'm surprised we actually haven't gotten sued yet.
Well, I mean, not us. I mean, just people in general. I mean, think about how crazy somebody gets when they said, oh, you mentioned my name on Facebook saying that I slept with your blah, blah son, and that was a defamation. And you know, who knows? But it's just, it's going to get messy, I think, before we're through. I mean, unless everybody chills the hell, you know, out. Like, chill out. Chill the fuck out. Somebody says something about you that's bad? Who gives a shit? Like, honestly.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, I know. People take it personal. People take it personal. But we get called all kinds of names. I guess we're used to it.
You know. What, they call me names?
What? Uh-oh.
I thought everybody liked me.
Oh, no. I burst your bubble of delusion.
Yeah.
It is such a sad day. Okay, well, with that, I guess we'll wrap things up. And we will see everybody for the last bonus show that's going to go up on Thursday. And after that, the bonus show is cut off.
Behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors. And that's also when we're going to be putting up the new look for the site, trying to put a little bit more effort into, you know, making it look great. I figure, why not? You
not
know?
Like so. A gigantic white screen with some green boogers on it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to ask people for money when it really looks as though you don't use any money the site.
When the site looks like a homeless person's
yeah.
site.
I mean, I obviously understand. It's just one of those things of saying, well, what are you doing with my money? Well, some of it's got to be put in the site. That's the smartest thing to do. I mean, you want to show people this is worth something? Make it look like it's worth something, at least.
Yeah, and coming soon, the new radio equipment, so the show will sound not like butt.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of our big expenses. I mean, we've got a good microphone now, but honest truth is that our setup is really terrible. And, you know, we're still using very primitive equipment. We want to make a nice, you know, rich sound, really, you know, better produced.
We want this to be as non-annoying as possible everybody who wants to listen.
Yeah, we realize that a lot of people, you know, sometimes, you know, they either can't hear us or certain parts get too loud and that
kind
of stuff.
Or we sound like each other because everything sounds like a CB operator on a...
Yeah, well, you know what we should probably do where my voice is one side of, like, the stereo and yours
that
is the
would
other.
That would be hellishly annoying. We're not doing that. All you have to do is you have more bass and I have more treble. And that's it.
I like the left-right thing.
The left-right thing is the worst idea in the history of the universe.
What? True stereo. Everybody's going to be so sick and tired of their left side of their ear buzzing, though, I suppose.